And this morning we will continue to gather gleanings in the book of Judges. So please turn your Bible to Judges chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. And this passage presents a generational transition of the people of Israel. And we shall see two generations included in this passage. And we shall see how different are these two generations. There's a big contrast between the generation of Joshua and the generation after Joshua. So now let us hear the word of God. Judges chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work that the Lord had done for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years. And they buried him within the boundaries of his inheritance in Timnath Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gaash. And all their generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Let us pray and ask for God's blessing and light to shine on his word. Oh God, you have given us this word so that we may know you. And you have given us preachers so that you may teach your people, teach your children to know you. So may you use your own word and use this message to draw us to know you, to have a true knowledge of you, so that we will not abandon you and we will not serve the idols. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When Amy and I had our first child, Kai, we were very committed to teaching him Chinese. We wanted him to learn Chinese so that he could communicate with his grandparents, so that he could inherit the rich heritage of Chinese culture. So we spoke to him in Chinese. We read him stories in Chinese. We taught him to sing Chinese nursery rhymes. And we let him watch Chinese cartoons. And Kai was making good progress. He had no trouble understanding Amy and I. And he could have simple conversations in Chinese. And 2 years ago, when Kai was three, I took him back to China. And he not only survived, but he also thrived. And he was happy and comfortable in a Chinese-speaking environment, even during the week when I had to leave him with my parents. But things started to change when we sent Kai to preschool, when he started to take classes in English and make friends with American kids, when he was placed in an environment where everyone spoke to him in English. And when he came home, he would speak English to us, even when we were talking to him in Chinese. We tried to encourage him to speak Chinese, but it didn't work. He would switch back to English after saying a few Chinese words. So we gave up. And we stopped trying, and we started to speak English to our kids. So thanks to Kai, English has become the official language of our household. And Amy and I will use Chinese only when we are talking to each other. And when we call our parents who are in China, Kai, Aesop, and Boya will come and say hi, and then they will leave, and play. And before we hang up, we will ask them to come back so that they could say bye to their grandpa and grandma. So hi and bye. That's it. They're the only conversation that could possibly happen between my kids and my parents. How sad. How sad it is to see my children forget the mother tongue of their parents, to see my children unable to communicate with their grandparents. But what's even sadder is what we see in today's passage, that in no more than a generation, the people of Israel had abandoned the God of their fathers, that within 40 years, the people of God had forgotten their God. They didn't know the Lord or the work that he had done for them. When the last generation who served the Lord were gathered to their fathers, there arose another generation, a new generation, who didn't know the Lord and served the Baals. How quickly they changed their God, and how sad that the faithful generation was succeeded by an idolatrous generation. Only one generation ago, we hear the people of Israel say this: far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. We will serve the Lord, for he is our God. But what happened after one generation? This new generation abandoned the God of their fathers and went after other gods. They whored after foreign gods and false gods. They did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals and bowed down to them. How could this happen so quickly? Why did the people turn away from their God as soon as their fathers passed away? This is the question all of us need to ask and earnestly seek its answer. If you are well advanced in your years and have served the Lord all the days of your lives, you need to ask, when my children and my children's children follow my examples, follow my steps, and walk with my God? And if you are in the prime of life, and this is your pledge, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, then you need to ask, how can I prevent my household from apostasy, from idolatry, as long as I live? And if you are still boys and girls and haven't professed faith in Jesus, you need to ask, will I grow up to be a servant of the Lord or a servant of idols? People of College Hill, this congregation was founded in 1896. And this building was constructed in 1924, almost 100 years ago. But what will happen to our congregation when the next generation arises? And what will happen to this building when we are about to go the way of all the earth? Would it be torn down, as it happened to the old Geneva church? Or would it be sold and used for another purpose, as it happened to the Methodist church just one block away? We don't know. So let's pray that God will have mercy on us, that this will never happen to our congregation. But let's also learn from this passage. Learn from these two generations recorded here. as the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, that we might not desire evil as they did. So I will show you three reasons for the apostasy of this new generation, this idolatrous generation that arose after the faithful generation. And the first reason is negligence, the negligence of their fathers. Look at verse 10. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. Does this verse ring a bell with you? It reminds me of the first chapter of Exodus. Joseph died, and all his brothers, and all their generation. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Only this time it was the people of Israel who became forgetful. And the new Pharaoh did not know Joseph. This new generation did not know their Lord, which is even more wicked, more unforgivable than the sin of the Pharaoh. And again, this reminds me of what Pharaoh said to Moses in Exodus chapter 5. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. How sad it is that God's people became like God's enemy. And they said, I do not know the Lord, and I will not serve the Lord. But who should be held responsible for this new generation's ignorance of God and of his work? The answer is the generation of their fathers. Just as Amy and I should be held responsible for our children's failure to learn Chinese, so the blame for Israel's apostasy falls primarily on their parents. If one child goes astray, it might not be the parents' fault. But when the whole generation abandons the Lord, how could their fathers be innocent? And if you are not convinced of the old generation's culpability, let me read you a few passages from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 4:9. Take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest you depart and let them depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Then Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Deuteronomy 32, verse 46. Take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may commend them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law. And I'm just quoting only a few passages from this book. Now you tell me, to whom does God entrust this duty of raising children in the knowledge of the Lord? And on whom will God pass judgment when the whole generation failed to know the Lord? Fathers and mothers, it's not enough for yourself to know Lord and serve Lord, but you must also teach and lead your children to know the Lord and serve the Lord. If you neglect this duty, you forfeit your calling. You disobey God's commandment. So do you teach your children who God is and God, what God has done? Of course, you have done that. And so did the old generation of Israel, who raised an unfaithful generation. Do you think they would forget to mention God at all? Do you think they would forget to mention what happened to Egypt, what happened to the wilderness, to their children at all? Of course they had done that. And of course you have done that to your children too. But the point is, do you teach your children the knowledge of God as the most important thing that he needs to know? Do you teach your children God's word diligently, persistently, and passionately? When you teach them the work that God has done, do you show them how great God's work is? Does your heart sink and break when you teach them the sinfulness of man? Is your heart moved and pierced when you point them to the cross of Jesus Christ? And does your heart leap and burn when you tell them the resurrection of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, and the promise of life and joy and glory everlasting? And when you teach your children the work that God has done, do you show them that God has done all the great work, not only for you, but even for them? The word of God is meant for them to hear and obey. The gospel of Jesus is meant for them to understand and receive. And it is they who need to believe and repent, to come to Jesus and follow Jesus, to have a personal and sincere relationship with the living God. And if you do all these things, then do you do this every day? Do you teach your children the word of God every day? Do you bring your children to the presence of God every day? My mom lives in China, but she used to visit us and stay with us for a couple of months and help us look after our kids. During her stay, Kai became really close to her because he spent most of his time with grandma every day. But because of COVID, my mom couldn't come anymore, so we would have FaceTime with her once a week. But in our last call with her, I was shocked to find that Kai couldn't recognize her face anymore. He mistook my mom for Amy's mom, and he couldn't remember anything grandma had done for him. Parents, you need to know that children are forgetful. If you are content to bring them to God once a week, only on the Lord's Day, then don't be surprised if your children fail to know the Lord. It's because of your negligence that God becomes a stranger to them, and they become slaves to idols and evils. But if you act like Paul, if you do not shrink from declaring to your children the whole counsel of God, if you do not cease night or day to admonish and exhaust your children with tears, then you are innocent of their blood, even if they should perish. But by God's grace, you may trust in the Lord that your children will stand firm and continue in what they have learned from you since childhood. And they will entrust your teachings to their children, who shall arise and tell them to the coming generation of your great-grandchildren. Oh, how blessed are we to witness four generations of the McCrackens worshiping together with us in this building. And may God bless all of us with godly offspring that will last to a thousand generations. So this is the first reason for Israel's apostasy, the negligence of their fathers. But there are two more reasons. And here is the second one, the influence of their neighbors. Look at verse 11. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Who are the Baals? They are the gods of the Canaanites, whom the previous generation failed to drive out completely, who lived among the people of Israel and became forced labor for them. But the irony is that now they succeeded to make their masters servants of their gods. The people of Israel refused to serve the one true God and chose to serve many gods who are no gods at all. They abandoned the Lord who had brought them out of Egypt into this pleasant land, and they went after the Baals, the gods of the peoples whom they have subdued. What's wrong with them who exchanged their mighty and invincible God for these powerless and worthless idols? So this shows the influence of the environment. Just as Kai became more comfortable with English when he was surrounded by teachers and friends who spoke English, so the people of Israel were tempted to worship the Baals when they lived among the Canaanites, the Baal worshippers. This new generation grew up in the land of Canaan, a land filled with images and altars of the Baals. And they grew up with the children of the Canaanites, a people who were known for their abominable and idolatrous practices. Of course, that's how they were led astray. That's how they went into idolatry. But let me read you the word that God said to Moses in Deuteronomy 31. When Moses was about to die and the people of Israel were about to cross the Jordan, here is what God said. When I have brought the people of Israel into the land flowing with milk and honey, which I swore to give to their fathers, and they have eaten and are full and grown fat, they will turn to other gods and serve them and despise me and break my covenant. For I know what they are inclined to do even today, even before I have brought them into the land that I swore to give. This passage tells us that the Israelites were inclined to forsake God even before they entered the land of Canaan. They served the Baals not because they were tempted by the Canaanites, but because their hearts were disposed and curved to whore after idols, to lust after evils, to covet and crave abominations. And so are you, if you haven't been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, if you haven't been renewed in the image of God. And I say this to my own sons and to all you children. You are by nature sons of disobedience, children of wrath, a rebellious and stubborn generation. And unless you die on the cross with Jesus, unless you receive a new heart from Jesus, you are doomed to rebel against God. You are doomed to chase after idols. No matter how diligently your fathers, your mothers may teach you, you will still go astray. You will still go after idols. Even if your father may be a pastor or elder or deacon, even if you are homeschooled or you go to a Christian school, Even if you live in a godly family and have the appearance of godliness, but all these things will be of no use to you if you don't receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So ask God. Ask God to renew your mind that you may know Him. Ask God to open your eyes that you may see Him. Ask God to circumcise your heart that you may love Him. Ask God to lead you to the cross of Jesus that you may be washed and cleaned with His blood. Ask God to lead you to the throne of Jesus that you may bow down at His feet. Oh, my children, if I'm about to die, this will be my last word to you. Know the God of your Father and serve Him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. You have to know the God of your Father, and you have to ask God to reveal Himself to you because you were born in your sin and you will die in your corruption if you don't know the Lord. Now we must go quickly to the third reason, the final reason for the apostasy of Israel's next generation. And that is affluence, the affluence of their lives. We have already touched on this point in the passage I quoted from Deuteronomy 31. When the people of Israel entered the promised land and ate of the produce of the land and became full and grown fat, they kicked the Lord and went after other gods. When they moved from the wilderness to large cities, from the booth to fine houses, when their herds and flocks multiplied and their silver and gold increased, their hearts became lifted up and they forgot the Lord their God. And they said in their hearts, "Who is the Lord? With my own power and my own hands I have achieved all these wealth." And the brothers and sisters, it's not this what has happened to us, to this nation, to this generation. We become rich, we become strong, we have prospered, and so we despise the Lord, we deny the Lord, and we boast in ourselves. And it's not this why God has brought upon us plagues and famines, wars and inflation, trials and afflictions, that we may be humbled, that we may be drawn back to the God of our fathers, to the God who have redeemed us. But why doesn't God leave us to go after the gods of the world, to lust after the pleasures of the world, to remain in the corruption of the world? Why didn't God leave the people of Israel? Go after their idols. Go and serve their Baals. But God chose to deal with them and try to bring them back because His steadfast love lasts forever and ever, because His faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Even if the whole generation goes astray, even if all of us forget Him, forsake Him, and reject Him, God still remembers His people. God still keeps His sheep, and God still receives His children. Despite the negligence of our fathers, despite the influence of our neighbors, despite the depravity of our nature, despite the affluence of our society. God will keep his covenant from generation to generation. God will advance his kingdom from generation to generation. And God will gather and save his people from generation to generation. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. O God, our Lord, God, our fathers, we acknowledge that we are a rebellious and unfaithful generation. We acknowledge that our fathers were rebellious and unfaithful. And we know that our children's children, will be rebellious and unfaithful. But we know this, that you are faithful from generation to generation, and so we do not lose hope. O Lord, let us be diligent to make known to our children your mighty deeds, and let one generation commend your glorious works to another, so that you may be glorified and praised forever and ever throughout all generations. In Jesus' name. Amen.